Loving God, we thank you for your word. Your word that gives us a vision of your kingdom. Your word that gives us an understanding of what you want us to be. May we hear it as the truth and have the will and the courage to do it. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. There was a Dear Abby column once. It went like this. Dear Abby, our son was married January. 5 months later, his wife had a 10-pound baby girl. They said the baby was premature. Tell me, can a baby this big be that early? Signed, Wondering. Dear Wondering, the baby was on time. The wedding was late. Forget it. We often say that seeing is believing. And in many cases, that's true. But it is not so true sometimes when it comes to truths that we need to see in the living of our lives. And in that sense, it's often a case of perspective, of how we're looking at the situation. The mother had a hard time believing that her perfect son had sex before marriage. But Abby was not tainted with that same blindness. And in many respects, that is what we're hearing and seeing in our passages from Job and Mark. It's a matter of perspective. What lens or what filter are we looking through? I want to look first at Job. Job has lost all of his wealth and his children. And according to the story, it's because Satan used Job to make a point with God, to prove that Job believed in God because God blessed his life. But if his life became suddenly hard, if he was to lose all of it, Satan was sure that Job would curse God to his face. Now, Job's wife and his three friends and others tell him, "Now, you must have sinned. You must have done something wrong and God is angry at you. And if you repent, you'll be fine then. Things will turn out okay." But Job believes in his righteousness. And he wants to question God and say, "Why? What have I done? Why is this happening to me?" And then God confronts him. That's what we heard in our passage last week from Job. And it began like this. "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall be clear to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it?" And on and on. And today, in Job, we hear Job utter words of humility. He understands that he does not have the knowledge and the perspective of God. Now, I need to caution us and say that this does not mean that we shouldn't take our doubts, our frustrations to God and bang the doors of heaven and say, "Why, God?" with our prayers. God's big. God can take it. And that's what Job was doing through most of the book. "Why, God?" And he got his answer. In fact, it was in his banging the doors, so to speak, taking all of his anger to God, that he found understanding. He found the truth. and he regained his wealth and more children. Now, as Job recognizes, he was blind in the story until this point of today's passage. And the story, here he begins to see, the story reminds us that God is working with a different perspective on things. And we cannot know the ways and the things of God. Now we turn to the Gospel of Mark and the healing of blind Bartimaeus. The context of this story is that Jesus has been on the road to Jerusalem for several chapters now. And he's along this road three different times. He's predicted his coming death, his passion, that was going to happen in Jerusalem. And immediately following each of the three depictions or the three sharings of this passion, we hear the response of the disciples. Now, also we realize that immediately after this passage in chapter 10, chapter 11 begins with the entry into Jerusalem that we celebrate on Palm Sunday. So the end is near. But the disciples still don't have understanding. In the first prophesying his passion, Peter tells Jesus that he won't let it happen. And Jesus turns to him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." The second time comes right after the transfiguration on Mount Tabor, when the disciples down in the valley could not heal the boy, the son of the man, and the son had convulsions. And they couldn't heal him, but Jesus did. And then last week, after he predicted his passion, James and John come to him and say, "Lord, we want you to do for us what we ask." He says, "What's that?" He says, "Well, we want one of us to be on the left and the other one to be on the right when you come into your kingdom." So Jesus is trying to explain what is going to happen, and the disciples are totally blind to it. They are caught up in a world of their own ideas, their own doubts, their own desires, their own sense of the way things should be. They do not see what Jesus sees. And then in the midst of this, last time, we hear this blind beggar cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" Now let's be clear what those words mean. Son of David is a messianic title. In other words, Bartimaeus believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one of God. Now we contrast that with the disciples who over the past several chapters have been advising Jesus on what he should do or how he should handle things. Blind Bart would never believe that he could advise Jesus or treat Jesus like a common person. To Bartimaeus, Jesus was God's anointed one. He also recognized that he needed mercy. It starts from a sense of humility. "I'm not really perhaps worthy to be healed, but have mercy on me." And he believed that the one he was calling out to could give him the mercy that he needed. And when Jesus said, "What do you want?" he said his prayer, "Teacher," or "Rabbi, let me see again." A blind man sees better than the disciples. A blind man understands and follows Jesus on the way, which, as I said, is immediately on the way to the cross. It's so easy to see and still be blind. We see what we expect to see. We see what we want to see. Or we see what others tell us we are seeing. Blind Bart saw the reality, even when he couldn't see. And Jesus was trying to get the disciples to see the reality. And the reality is that when you say the things that Jesus was saying, when you do the things that Jesus was doing, people in power get scared and they want you out of the picture. You get killed. Seeing reality means that you will suffer because you will see suffering. Reality at times is cold, hard, and cruel. And when you see that, you cannot unsee it. You are compelled to respond. The Reverend Dr. Kimberly Buchanan, a United Church of Christ pastor in Marietta, Georgia, tells a story. And then she shares some of the same thoughts following that in a sermon entitled Surviving Seeing. She writes, consider photojournalist Kevin Carter's story. In 1993, while covering the famine in Sudan, Carter took a picture of a small girl who had just collapsed while walking to a food station. And just a few feet behind the starving girl, a vulture stalked her. In May of 1994, Carter won a Pulitzer Prize for that picture. 2 months later, he committed suicide. A close friend of Carter said that after shooting the photo of the starving girl, Kevin sat under a tree and cried and chain smoked, and could not distance himself from the horror of what he saw. He could not unsee what he had seen. And Dr. Buchanan goes on, you see, yes, seeing can be dangerous. It can call into question everything we ever believed. It can dismantle our faith, our theology, our worldview. Seeing can devastate us. And yet, a big part of following Jesus is seeing things as they really are. Why else would he try to show his disciples, not once, not twice, but 3 times, what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem? Seeing must be important to the life of faith. We have to be willing to see what Jesus sees if we want to follow him. We have to be willing to see those who are hungry. But it's not enough to see. We have to be willing to do something about what we see. We have to be willing to feed those who are hungry with food, with hope, with good news. I recall the parable that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember that story? There's a rich man who ate all kinds of fine food and dressed in wonderful clothes and lived in a big fancy house. And Lazarus was a homeless man outside, just outside his gate, with sores all over his body. And the dogs would lick his sores. The rich man did not see Lazarus. Oh, he probably saw him. I mean, he says, oh, but that man's out there again. But he didn't see him. Not enough to do anything about it. And in that parable, the rich man ends up in hell and Lazarus ends up in the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man, when he realizes things, he said, send Lazarus to my brothers to warn them. Abraham says, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. And that's the story of Jesus. He rose from the dead. Many still didn't believe. You know, this is Reformation Sunday, when we remember the period of history when people caught a new vision of the church. And it led to a reformation of the church to get back to Jesus, as it were. As they saw it, people like Luther, Calvin, Knox, Zwingli, and many others, the church had gotten away from what Jesus said and did. And its vision had gotten cloudy. and it needed to see again. Some beliefs have developed from a distorted view of reality, and they needed to be gotten rid of. And out of all of this, the Protestant church was formed. And I feel like sometimes the Protestant church is about where the Catholic church was then, where you hear people talk about the church. We could be at a time when another reformation of a church may be needed, or perhaps is already even kind of in the works as we listen to some of the people speaking today. A new vision needs to be seen, or it's already being seen by some people. Seeing is not always believing. Sometimes you have to believe to see. I think this is what Bartimaeus, what happened with him, why he was healed. He believed and then he saw. We have to see Jesus. We have to see the compassion, the mercy, the grace, the way he lived his life. We have to say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. To realize with Job that we don't have the full story. Help me to see. Only then can we regain our true sight. Only then can we see the true reality. Otherwise, all we see is what we want to see, or what others tell us we are seeing. May we say with Job, I have heard you of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Amen.